And welcome to the 1UP Video Game Discussion Podcast. My name is Hunter.
We hope to actually start this time.
Ben, we're doing the intro right now.
Okay, but that sarcastic comment has to be said.
My name is Ben. My name is Hunter.
Anyway, no, did you actually think I left there for a second? Like I wasn't going to show back?
You literally just left.
Yeah. Anyways. Can we do it now?
Hello. Wait. Hello, and welcome to the 1UP Video Game Discussion Podcast. My name is Hunter.
My name is Caden.
And my name is Ben.
And today we're talking about a real good game. The classic.
The made Elder by Bethesda. Scrolls.
Yeah, made by Bethesda. Actually, this whole series has been made by Bethesda up until now. So, today we're talking about Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion and Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Probably mostly Skyrim, because it's the one that most of us have played. I felt like we should talk about Oblivion, too, because...
I've played.
I'm pretty sure we've all played Skyrim.
Hunter, you said most of the one I've played. I've played that game so much, I've done literally everything that is imaginable.
Well, you told me that you haven't gotten every achievement, so you haven't done everything that's imaginable.
Well, I...
You've almost gotten every achievement, though.
Yes.
How many achievements do you have?
I don't know, I think I have like 74% of the game.
Like, check it right now.
These are Cazadores.
You know, I'm going to have to turn on my entire PS4, which means I'm going to have to connect my phone to the remote, which will then make me have to turn it on. Then I have to press the power button. Then I have to go and find Skyrim. Then I have to check the achievement.
Very much a growing process.
Me and Ben will start talking about Oblivion.
Okay.
Oblivion? I haven't played Oblivion. This will be difficult.
Ben, but you know you played Skyrim, so just hold tight until we get to Skyrim, then you can.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I should.
I hear good things about Oblivion. Hold on. Before I start, I hear good things about Oblivion beyond the fact that the NPCs are staring into your soul.
No, actually, the NPCs are really stupid.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Well, that too.
But that's just. That's just common Bethesda stuff.
Oh, yeah, that game is really glitchy.
Just common across most video games. There's very few.
Isn't this the first game to introduce, like, really stupid microtransactions because there's, like, the horse armor DLC for, like, $2?
I don't remember. I thought that was...
I'm conflicted. Oh, whoa.
I don't know what you're... Okay. Well, there's only two expansions. So, anyways, so let's get the facts out of the way. Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion is an open-world action role-playing video game developed by Bethesda Game Studios and published by Bethesda Softworks and the Take-Two Interactive Division 2K Games. It is the fourth installment in the Elder Scrolls action fantasy series following 2002's Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind and was released for Microsoft Windows and Xbox 360 in March 2006 and on PlayStation 3 in March 2007. The mobile version of the game released on... Wait, there was a mobile version of this game?
Wait, what?
I need to see this.
I need to hear. I haven't heard of that.
Let's Google this.
Or are you talking about Blades?
No. It says that there's a mobile version for this.
Huh. Anyway, I've played the actual beginning of this game.
It actually exists.
Let me see. Oh, wow.
It's not like a real version. It's like a different version, but it's like the same story and like same encounters, but it's like a top-down format. That's really weird.
Weird. But
anyways, taking place within the fictional province of Cyrodiil, Oblivion's main story revolves around the player character's efforts to thwart a fanatical cult known as the Mythic Dawn that plans to open portal gates to a demonic realm.
Cool. I would actually play that.
The game continues the open world tradition of its predecessors by allowing the player to travel anywhere in the game world at any time and to ignore or postpone the main story in storyline indefinitely. A perpetual objective for the players is to improve their character's skills. And also, this game is much more similar to like Right. You probably don't need me to tell you that if you've played any Elder Scrolls game, it's pretty obvious that they're based around Dungeons and Dragons and the Lord of the Rings and stuff.
I've never played Dungeons and Dragons, but I have watched Lord of the Rings and stuff, so I get the full fantasy theme thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this game is much more similar to Dungeons and Dragons. Like, you get to choose your perks. There's kind of a class system, but it's a lot more customizable than, like, Dungeons and Dragons. But
oh, yeah, in this game, you start in prison, because in every Elder Scrolls game, you have to start in prison for some reason.
Yeah,
because
the players are fiends. The players fiends.
Now that I think about it, yeah, every Skyrim game, Elder Scrolls game, sorry, you start in prison. And also, the names of those games is the place it takes place in.
Really? Oh, kind of. This one, part of the game takes place in Oblivion, but it's not really. The first one's called Arena, too. But Morrowind and Skyrim and Daggerfall are all named after the places that they take place in.
Isn't Elder Scrolls 6 named Redfall?
That's what people are saying. It's not really confirmed yet, but that's the name that they're going with.
Okay, I got 76% on this game.
Nice.
Anyway,
so yeah,
that includes the Dragonborn DLC and everything.
Yeah, the Dragonborn DLC is okay. Anyways, we're not talking about Skyrim. We're talking about
DLC. You want to talk about DLC? My favorite DLC in this game is the what's it called? The Shale Gorath, the Shivering Isles DLC.
Oh yeah, Knights. So there was two. I was about to talk about the expansion packs. Thank you for that. Excellent segue.
I want to talk about Shivering Isles.
So yeah, it was it's now considered one of the greatest games ever made, which is kind of weird to hear that, because like it's considered like a really successful game, but like you never hear people talk about this. Like if you talk about Elder Scrolls, 90% of the time the people who will know what you're talking about will talk to you about Skyrim, because it's it's better.
The game is Skyrim.
Every Elder Scrolls game is like Skyrim, but Skyrim's super unique among all of them.
Well, no. I mean, they think the game, the like franchise, is called Skyrim.
Guilty.
Yeah, it's not called the Elder Scrolls 5. It's Skyrim. It's called Skyrim: The Elder Scrolls 5.
Anyway, the Shivering Isles. Well, actually, you can probably. What's the for the second DLC?
Knights of the Nine.
Oh, isn't there, there's that mission in this game where you go into a painting and you have to, like, help this guy.
I gotta say that the biggest concern I have about this game is that the guards look like doo-doo. Like, the models are not very good.
Yeah.
But other than that, I like this game. None of the models in this game are very good. Like, it works like New Vegas, which doesn't exactly have the best graphics anyways.
Oh, guys, I found it. I found the achievement in Skyrim. It's escape from jail and get married, and getting married has a 16% chance, and escaping from jail has a 12% chance.
Huh.
So you're telling me getting married is the same rarity?
It's just about as hard. Getting married is just about as hard as going to prison.
Huh. You mean escaping from prison?
Yeah, escaping from prison.
Huh. Anyway, let's see, what was it? Oh yeah, I think the coolest mission in this game is the, what is their name? The Thieves Guild.
Oh, we're still talking about Oblivion, aren't we?
Yes.
Oh, the Thieves Guild must just be in Skyrim too.
Yeah. No, the Thieves Guild, it's way cooler because they're actually thieves. Unlike in Skyrim where they're
basically an underground gang.
Yeah, they're basically like assassins, and that's the Dark Brotherhood. That's not.
I didn't come to play Assassin's Creed. I came to play Thieves Guild Creed.
Anyway, No, the coolest mission in this, one of the coolest missions, is you have to steal an Elder Scroll.
Nice.
Because the Gray Fox has like a knight, like has a cowl that like makes it so no one knows who he is. And if you you need an Elder Scroll to break it, and then you need to like sneak in, pretend to be like a guy who can read Elder Scrolls, and he they just like bring you the scroll, and then you pick it up, and then you run, you go back, and then break the curse. And I think it's really cool because you steal a literal Elder Scroll. And while in Skyrim, it's literally like, do this puzzle.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
All right. Sorry, my internet just decided it wanted to kill itself. Anyways.
Oh, I thought you were just being like, you weren't talking to me.
Yeah, I had already thought of that possibility.
Oh, it's nothing passive aggressive, Caden. I don't hate you. I just, my internet's being really busy. So I hope you guys are talking about interesting stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about the Thieves Guild right now.
Yeah.
In Oblivion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Also, this game takes place like 200 years before Skyrim.
Oh yeah, you can actually see the cat. Oh yeah, the story is there's like Molag Bal. I mean, what's his name? The like one guy with Maroon's dagger.
Yeah, Molag Bal.
No, not Molag Bal. Molag Bal is the other guy. He's the one with the mace. Maroon's Dagon.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he wants to like actually like go into the world and start destroying it, and that's what the Order wants to do. And then the Emperor has like a necklace that can like save the world, but the Emperor dies, so then he gives you the necklace to find his son. And then when you give it to his son like comes back and he's like, I'm gonna save the world now. And then he becomes a literal okay, I know it sounds like I'm on drugs, but he becomes a literal dragon and then starts fighting a demon, which is Molag Bal, and then they start fighting, and then they like get frozen into a statue, and then they like get frozen into a statue, and then that statue's theirs from now on.
Caden, I need to ask you a question. Yes? How long has it been since you were in town?
What do you mean?
I'm asking if you're on drugs.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. I swear.
He has his own secret stash.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like doing.
Also,
don't do something. Don't do drugs.
Okay.
Drugs are cringe.
Fact of the episode, or like, I don't know if we should have like a fact of the episode or fact of the game, but anyway, interesting fact. This game was originally rated teen, but then it was changed to M later on because there was game content not originally considered in the ESRB review. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you were playing as a pervert, you could play the game with very much teen plus content, but don't do that because it's freaking weird. But
also, I like to say, don't do drugs, and I don't do drugs, and don't do them.
Yeah, don't do them.
That for a second.
Drugs are very cringe. So, wait.
Yeah, and there's also like this one another reason this game got changed to an M rating is because there's this one dungeon where there's like a guy hanging from the ceiling in chains.
Oh,
and
it's really?
Pretty bloody, and they didn't stuff like that. But like instead that. Of changing the bot, instead of like sending out new boxes or like recalling all the old boxes, they just sent out stickers to all the GameStops. So if you're the real POG, if you have a copy of the game that has a M sticker on it or that has the T rating.
Weird.
So yeah, the first DLC is called Knights of the Nine. It came out in November 21st, 2006. You can get it you can get it for retail purchase on PC, and you can get it on the Xbox Live Marketplace for playing on Xbox 360, but it was included in the original version of the PS3 release. Anyways, the expansion was developed, published, and released by Bethesda Softworks. So the plot of the Knights of the Nine centers on the rise of the Sorcerer King Umaril and the player's quest to defeat him at the end at the aid of the Lost Crusader's relics. But yeah. And then there was Shivering Isles, which is really cool.
Nice.
No, but the Shivering Isles I like because of all the Daedric artifacts, and it explains I like Shael Gorath.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. Like, he's a really cool boss.
No, he's literally the god of madness. So, and he's also the most powerful god because Jigalag, or whatever his name is him. Because he's like, but, and then like the other Daedrics like made him insane. So then he became the Daedric god of madness. It's really weird.
Yeah. Alright, but so, this game was generally very well received. Nobody gave it less than a 90% on anything. An interesting thing, I think that IGN, so you know how IGN, like, nobody trusts it because people pay IGN?
Yes.
IGN works for all the game companies, so then they, like, always give games good reviews, even if they're not that good. IGN, yes. I think they were stretching this one or something, because it says IGN editor Charles Onyet praised the game's storytelling and easy to navigate menus.
Okay.
That's a bit of a stretch, not gonna lie. But
is the storytelling not good and the menus not very easy to navigate?
It's all good. It's just kind of weird that he pointed that out. Like, it's good, but it's also
kind of suspicious, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
No, but isn't this so
are we gonna move on to Skyrim now?
Oh, let's give it. We have to give it the official One Up Video Game Discussion podcast rating out of 10.
Well, I mean, this game is.
If the adventure is about as vague as it is in Skyrim, then I already have a bone to pick with this game.
I mean, this game is really glitchy, but it's also really good if you move past that fact. So,
Ben, what are you talking about it being vague? Did you just skip all the dialogue?
No, I didn't. I listened to the dialogue, thanks.
What can't you figure out? It's pretty basic.
No, once I got to the dragon, it's pretty basic, but besides that, I didn't actually know there was a story. Yeah, but now I'm at the dragon.
The dragon?
Yeah, I know. That's when I just got a little bored and I haven't gotten back to it. I'm looking for the thing that guy in the little summoning area wants.
So,
I think I'd give this game, I can't decide between a 7 or an 8. Let's go with 7.5.
Ben, but you beat the one guy, the actual final boss, Mirok.
Yeah. I beat him really early on.
But you can't figure out how to, or anyways, I'm gonna give this game an 8.5 out of 10. So, I got an 8.5. Tell me what you guys got.
You know, you gave it an 8.5, so I'm gonna give it an 8.5.
I'll go a step further. Dare I say an 8.6?
Whoa. Ben, that's a really hard.
And that's too much.
That's too much? You're breaking reality.
Oh no. Reality itself is being destroyed. What have I done?
That gives us an average of 8.5
3 repeating.
That sounds not as epic.
Yeah, but you're supposed to say that in math.
But we are cool.
We're not Aiden. We're doing Skyrim.
How dare you remind us of math?
Skyrim?
Alright, 8.5333333.
Skyrim. That's the one that I play.
Okay. Next game, Skyrim. The better game. The best game.
Totally.
I'm gonna come right out and say this. This is one of, if not, okay, hold on. My computer's running low on battery, so give me like 2 minutes to go get my charger. I'll be right back.
Anyway, I'd say the best RPGs out there. If you should play this game if you already haven't.
If you haven't.
You know what I meant to say.
Yes, I do. That was... I know what you meant.
Came off a little weird, but...
No, I think they understood, and if they didn't, they're pretty cringe for not understanding.
Anyway, I think you should definitely play this game. I mean, if...
I can't just give me a heart attack.
What?
I think...
Anyway.
I think you should also play this game because I want to stay on this podcast.
Did you guys talk about it at all, or do I... Do you guys talk about it at all, or do I edit this part out?
We're recommending it right now. And I just said...
Yeah.
Also recommend it because I want to stay on this podcast.
You can say you don't recommend it, man. This is all your opinion. If you don't like it, just say it. I won't judge you.
I mean, if you
I can't say I don't like it because I haven't played it enough to get a basic opinion on it.
And how about you like RPGs, you should play it. But if you don't,
I'm not going to say that this is my favorite game because my favorite game changes constantly. And also, I don't have one favorite game. I have like teen favorite games, but. This is definitely one of them. It's on the higher end of my favorite video game scale. Way too much time into this game.
This is one of my favorites, but it's not my favorite. My favorite will always go to TF2.
I wouldn't call it Halo levels a good. But I can recommend this game.
This is my one of my top 10 games, I think, I would say.
I can recommend this game.
We're all in agreement that this is a pretty good game.
Yeah, we're all in agreement on that.
We can't talk about how good this game is unless we talk about the gameplay.
Alright, should we talk about the facts real quick?
Those are the facts, bum.
Yeah, let's do it.
The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim is an open-world action role-playing video game developed by Bethesda Game Studios and published by Bethesda Softworks. I feel like I've said that line 7 million times.
100.
It is the fifth main installment. What?
I should recommend, if you guys want to play this game, get the special edition, because it comes with all the DLCs and it's remastered.
Yeah, we'll talk about all that stuff.
The special edition, and I beat the fight.
It's the fifth main installment in the Elder Scrolls series, so, yeah. It was released originally for Microsoft Windows, PS3, and Xbox 360. There's also a special edition that came out for Microsoft Windows, PS4, and Xbox One that had modding capabilities, and it came with the three DLCs. You can also get Legendary Edition, which has the three DLCs for your PS3 or Xbox 360 or whatever.
Although, the modding in this game is not on PS4.
It's not as good as it is on PC. But in November 2017, they released Elder Scrolls Skyrim VR for PSVR.
I can't even imagine what VR Skyrim would be like.
I've heard it's not that good, but I feel like I would like it because...
I feel like I would be forever traumatized by the gameplay.
Huh?
Whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but I feel like I'd be forever traumatized by it. I'd just be curled up in a ball in my bed.
I've heard that the controls I've heard that the controls aren't very good, which is the main thing that I've heard that people criticize about this.
I mean, I think I'd recommend a controller because it's way easier to control with a controller than on a, what's it called?
Yeah.
A computer
and mouse.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you.
It's way easier to move around stuff. This is one of the only games I'd recommend a controller instead of.
Yeah, I'd recommend a controller for Halo, but that's just because how I play.
Oh my gosh, I haven't played.
I prefer playing Halo with a mouse, but it depends. I like playing it with a controller. Anyways, we're not talking about it. Hunter, get back to it. Get back to the real game. So,
this is where
I'm just
going to
give you guys
begins.
Not a super detailed one, but I am going to give you guys kind of a rundown of the main story because I've played the main story like 8 times.
And somehow I stack.
It's like my favorite one.
I can't figure it out.
I don't see how you can't figure it out because the game literally tells you everywhere you need to go. Anyways, so in the beginning, you're being taken to Skyrim because you got caught trying to cross the border illegally, and because every Elder Scrolls game has to start with you going to prison for something.
How original.
You're about to get your head cut off when all of a sudden,
you don't.
Alduin, the World Eater, shows up and he doesn't really save you, but he destroys everything so you don't get your head cut off. And then
You have to go and find him so you can tell him thanks, and you'll help him destroy the world.
Yeah.
Alduin is really good. You can kill most people. And then you have to follow these two guys. You have to choose between the Imperial or the Stormcloak guy. And I prefer the Stormcloak guy because then you can start out with because then you have to kill the Imperial captain, so then you get the heavy armor to start off with.
Although if you want to choose either side, also it's a really dumb war. It's like it's so stupid.
I actually kind of like it.
It's not bad. I'm just gonna. It feels unfinished, and also it wasn't really finished. It was supposed to be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Civil War quest feel a bit unfinished though. It's
not really that.
But then, either Ralof or. What's the Imperial guy named again?
I don't really know.
The
boring guy. Let's call him that.
I'm actually.
You have to go with one of those two guys, and he tells you to meet him in Riverwood, which is a nice little town. And then the people there tell you to go tell the Jarl of Whiterun. So then you have to talk with Jarl Dahlgroth.
Whiterun's like your Sanctuary Hills. It's where you're gonna be a lot the time. Sorry I stopped there. I just got blown up by a trap. But it's where you're gonna be a lot of the time. Like in Sanctuary, it's probably where you're gonna build up the most. And White Ruin's probably where you're gonna be the most. It's kinda like that tutorial place.
Alright, and then you have to, and then he tells you to go find the he tells you to go to an ancient Nordic ruin to find the Dragonstone, a map of dragon burial sites. And then when you come back, he says, there's no time to wait because there's a dragon attacking Western Watchtower and you have to go save everybody from the dragon.
Because they can't save themselves.
And after that happens, after you kill the dragon, because...
You know...
Yeah. And also this dragon fight is kind of tough, like the first time you do it.
Not really. When you do all the side quests first.
It depends on your character. I always did this
Daedric armor in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, so anyways, I fought the dragon the first time at third level. It was really hard. But then you hear a voice shake the sky, and you have to go meet the mysterious Greybeards who tell you to go find the horn of some dead guy.
I know, it's
in like a dungeon. And then you go into the dungeon and you recover the horn. But actually, there's no horn. It's a note left by Delphine, who's one of the characters. She's the last survivor of the Blades, which killed Dragon.
Well, not the and one of the last survivors. She's like...
Yeah, you go and meet her, but then she feels that the Thalmor embassy is, pardon my term, a little sus. So then you have to go sneak into the Thalmor embassy, and the Thalmor embassy are elf guys, and they're kind of xenophobic. They don't like anybody other than themselves. But then you have to like disguise yourself and sneak into the party, and then you go in there and you kill a bunch of elves, and then you go back and you tell her that they have nothing to do with it. Which is, it's an awesome quest, but it doesn't really contribute a lot to the story.
So you just murder a bunch of elves for no reason, and I feel confused.
Yeah, practically.
This part I remember clearly because I did it recently, so I'll be able to contribute more here.
Yeah.
No.
So then Delphine's like, well, I guess it wasn't the elves, so now you have to go find this another member of the Blades before the Thalmor do, because okay, when you're in the Thalmor place, you find out that they're after the Blades. They want to kill the Blades.
Well, no,
so then you have to go to Riften.
Because there was... Oh, yeah. Speaking of Oblivion, the Blades were the people that were supposed to protect the Emperor.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
They sucked at their job, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Then...
No,
You have to go find the guy. His name is Esbern. He lives inside of a sewer, basically.
Sorry, phone died.
Which is a really cool mission. Then you have to journey with him to the Skyhaven Temple with the Blades to learn the secret of Alduin's Wall, which is a big wall with a big dragon carved in it.
Yeah, it's...
And then...
It's really interesting. It's interesting. Nice little area, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of a boring mission, though. Anyways. But then you have to meet with the leader of the Greybeards, the dragon Parthenax, and learn how to defeat Alduin.
Yeah. That part's fresh in my mind, because I just did it very recently.
Oh, yeah, guys, fun fact, Parthenax was voiced by Charles Martinet, who's the voice actor of Mario.
Really? I actually didn't know that. I was going to say I did not know that, but that... It sounded sarcastic.
No. He actually was voiced by Charles Martinet.
I know. Well, I didn't know that, but interesting.
Yeah. How many voices has Charles Martinet done?
Yes.
Well, he voices like Waluigi, Luigi, Mario, Wario.
I know, but let's go to the video game section, because this is a video game. Podcast. He was in Super. Oh, that's obvious.
No, or actually a book.
He was in
Club.
Star Wars X-Wing Alliance. He was in.
Anyway, Hunter, we're talking about Skyrim.
Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds. He was
Hunter,
in.
Hunter, we're talking about Skyrim.
Don't
I know, but
off
I want to. He was in Pac-Man Versus. He was in Lord of the Rings: The Return of the King video game. He was in. Yeah. But this guy has been in a lot of games. Anyways, this is not an episode about Charles Martinet. This is an episode about Skyrim. Anyways,
yeah.
Although Charles, yeah, we would happily have you on if you're listening. If you're one of our
die a happy man with Charles Martinet. If you know Charles Martinet, tell him, get him to come onto the podcast, because he's kind of an epic guy and I want to meet him someday. I know, and also they're all extinct.
The Dwemer, that's their name.
Yeah, but they're called dwarves. Like people call them dwarves. Like how they called the Dunmer.
You want to know how Dark Elves? You want to know how I can? I can explain this if you want. You want me to explain?
Okay.
Anyway, so what happened and why they're all gone is because there was this one guy who made these like artifacts. There was like a, I think there was like they were called Wraithgar, Sunder, and Keening, and he like hit the heart of this like thing to try and like harness its power, and then him hitting it just made all of the Dwemer disappear. They're just gone, and all that's left. They like literally the entire race just disappeared.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Except for one. Except for one.
Wait, what do you mean except for
Marcy?
One?
I can't remember if it's in Oblivion or Morrowind, but there is a dwarf that you can meet.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Anyways,
you have to go down there. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. And there's things called Felmer, which are snow elves. And the...
Falmer. Yeah, the Falmer. They all went blind, so now they're really creepy.
Yeah, and there's only, like, one snow elf in existence. Actually, you meet two in the Dawnguard DLC, but you kill one of them, so then there's only one left in existence. But the Felmer... Uh-oh. The Felmer are, were snow elves, but then, like, the, what's his name? This one guy came around, and he was like, I don't like you. It's basically what we did to Native Americans.
Putting it simply.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, no, like, a guy came around.
But anyways.
Because the snow elves were native to Skyrim, and then he just kills a bunch of them.
Very interesting.
And the rest that survived.
So then you go down there, and you find the Elder Scroll, which is why this game is part of the Elder Scrolls series, because there's Elder
Isn't
Scrolls.
There's three
you
Elder Scrolls.
Go back
right.
to, get to go meet Parthenax. You get to go back to Parthenax, and then you use the Dragon Scroll, or use the Elder Scroll, sorry, and you go back to a flashback where you get to see the first time people fought Alduin, and you learn the reason why Alduin's back now is because they sent him forward in time.
Well, that's explained they couldn't defeat him by Parthenax. That's explained by Parthenax, but...
Oh. I also want to...
But then right after that happens, Alduin comes into real life. And you have to fight him. You
Alduin's
don't actually kill
real?
Him.
I also want to say how useful that shout you learn is. Because what it is it allows dragons to land.
Oh yeah, you get to learn a shout called Dragon Wrench, and it makes it so that dragons can't fly. It's really awesome.
It's really useful.
Yeah. But then he flies away. What are you gonna do?
So here's the coolest part. You go to Jarl Balgrith, and you're like, hey, I need to capture a dragon. And then you have to go to this really, really boring meeting, and they're just like...
But before you do that, you have to negotiate a peace treaty between the Imperial Legion and the Stormcloaks to work together to fight the dragon.
Oh,
which is
what
the
if
most
you
boring
.
Mission in the entire game.
Hunter,
so
what
boring.
Hunter, what if you already made
it super long too? Like it takes like half an hour to complete it.
And you hold on, guys.
Give the dialogue.
What if you made the Imperial surrender already?
Then you don't. I don't think you have to do it.
Then that quest doesn't actually trigger.
Oh, well, that's good.
But who has it? Who
season and ending is only available if the player has not completed the Civil War quest line.
And most
otherwise, the quest is just bypassed. It just doesn't happen. But then you can either side the Blades, decide that you can either side with them or the Greybeards. And the Greybeards, the leader of the Greybeards is Parthenax, who's a dragon, and the Blades hate dragons. So you can join the Blades, and your first mission is to kill Parthenax, which I don't do because I wouldn't join the Blades, but I always feel awful when you have to kill Parthenax.
Yeah,
or you can join with the Greybeards.
Parthenax is just a cool guy.
He was voiced by Charles Martinet.
Yeah, I think Parthenax is a great guy. I'd feel awful if I had to kill him.
I mean, he's the only guy.
You have to go prepare a trap for Odaving, the right-hand dragon of Alduin, at Dragon's Reach. And also, Dragon's Reach, the reason why it's called Dragon's Reach is because it was originally meant to hold a dragon. Like, yeah. They trapped it a long, long time ago. The first builder of the port, or the palace, captured a dragon in there and killed it. Which is a little bit ironic, because
you capture except
the dragon. For other than the chamber that you actually trap him in, the whole building's made out of wood.
Oh.
Anyway. But then you catch him. And also that scene, I don't know. It just has that, it's kind of, it has like kind of the Jurassic Park, like, it's really cool because, like, there's one scene where, like, the White Ring Guard, he gets picked up by Odaving as he flies over. Like, he just picks him up and drops him.
This is actually a cool fact. If you leave where he dropped him, you can actually find that dead body. That's cool that they like to put that attention into detail.
Yeah, that, I think that's cool.
Yeah, and you also learn a shout. You also learn a shout that lets. Oh wait, no, never mind. But then you convince Odaving that you can ride him, and then you get to ride Odaving all the way to an ancient dragon temple.
Hunter, let me guess. You were about to talk about
into a Benny. Place that's not accessible except through the main quest.
Hunter, let me guess.
In this area.
You were about to talk about Bendwill, weren't you?
I was about to talk about what?
Bendwill.
Yeah.
Bend.
I'm not going to talk. Anyways. But then you go through there, and the first time I did this, I was like level 8 because I did the main quest was the first mission I did. And this area is really hard because there's a bunch of these guys. There's these guys in this game called Draugr. They're basically zombies. But,
No, there's like 50.
They're really tough.
Oh, and then you run into.
There's a lot of dragons, but I found the dragons, like, way easier to beat than, like, all the stupid Draugr whites.
Oh, yeah, and there's also these things in this, dungeon called. There's a one of the, like, 10 dragon priests.
Oh yeah, dragon this boss fight. Or... Even though he starts out with low health, I had progressed to level 9 after defeating.
Oh
this.
Yeah, dragon priests. The people that what are they called?
They worship dragons. Anyways, but they're Draugr too.
No, they but like.
It took
they,
me.
Yeah, and one of them has he has a unique staff, and the only way to get it is you have to kill him. While he picks it up, and then you have to like run as fast as you can, pick it up, and then run into the portal to I can't remember where it's called.
Oh yeah, I got that.
Tallest time.
Yes.
Well, did you know that you can actually just steal this? Like, there's a bug that, or I don't know if it's a bug or not, but you can literally just steal the staff as soon as he steps, like as soon as so he sticks it in the. The thing to open the portal, and you can just take the staff out of that.
Give me your staff, old man.
No, I don't think you can.
I did.
Well, I don't know how you did that. Anyway.
It took me a solid, like, hour of trying to beat this guy to finally kill him, and I killed him because he accidentally jumped off a cliff. Even though he can fly because he's magical, he still died from taking fall damage.
What? That makes no sense.
And then there's also two dragons at this part, which make the fight even harder. But if you do it fast enough, you don't actually have to fight the dragons, which is really nice.
Was beating Alduin super easy?
Yes. Because he's Alduin? Leveled. He's not meant to be encountered that early in the game. So when you go and defeat him, like I was level 9 or 10 when I beat Alduin the first time. He was... So you encounter a blood dragon at some point in the quest on your way to somewhere. But that was he was way harder than the actual final boss. It took me 2 tries to defeat Alduin. It's because I, instead of using Dragon Rend, I accidentally used the wrong shout on him.
I consider the true final boss, Murek. Murek.
He is the true final boss. He's meant to be the true final boss.
I killed him really early on.
You're not supposed to beat him.
He's actually.
What level were you, Ben?
I don't know, but I know I was a really low level.
And I just went out.
Yeah.
How did you even get to Mural?
Yeah.
Because you're that low level. Getting to him is a lot harder than actually killing
him. I got the special edition DLC and a lot of patience.
You have to, like, you know what? Hold on, we'll talk about
that. That's not answering my question. How did you get to him? You have to get all through. You have to go through all the books and everything.
Yeah, I know.
We need to talk about it later. Because we're not talking about
Dragon. Okay, we're still on the main quest.
Oh, I wasn't a ridiculously low level. I wasn't a ridiculously low level, if that's what you're thinking. I was just low level in comparison.
Anyway.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm talking about this quest a lot, but I really like this game. You have to go to Sovngarde, which is basically the land of the dead, like Valhalla in Norse mythology. But then you have to use a shout that you learned from the Greybeards a long time ago called Clear Skies to shout away some fog. So basically Alduin eats souls that go to Sovngarde, which is why he's so deadly. So he kills everybody and then he kills them again.
So deadly.
Him eating all the souls makes a bunch of fog. But then you have to go to the Hall of Valor to enlist the help of three ancient heroes. And they help you fight Alduin. Everybody uses
three ancient heroes. These three ancient heroes are the ones that you saw in the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. And then they help you defeat Alduin. And also they make it way too easy to beat Alduin. Because they're super high level.
Oh yeah, Alduin, the reason he comes back is because they didn't actually kill him. They trapped him in an Elder Scroll like time thing. And that's why
They sent him forward in time because they hoped that we would be advanced enough to fight him.
They were true.
Yeah, and you're the first dragon born in a long time, by the way.
You're the last dragon.
Yeah, and dragons haven't been around for a long, long time.
No pressure, then. No pressure, but you're the last of your kind, and if you don't beat him, no one can.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and Alduin, he revives all the other dragons, which is a really cool mission because you have to go out there and kill a dragon. And you can kill it before it actually gets a chance to attack. You can kill it while it's still a skeleton, getting its skin back.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, really?
But then you destroy Alduin. You destroy Alduin, and then you get to go back to Nern, which is a planet that Elder Scrolls takes place on. So you get to go back to Skyrim. And there's a cool scene, and it's with Parthenax, and it makes you feel super awesome.
Yeah, all the dragons are, like, flying over you, and it's pretty cool. I remember on one of my save accounts that was modded, I killed Parthenax, and when I appeared, his skeleton was just there. And I was just like, oh, this is kind of awkward.
Sorry about that.
No, his skeleton was just there, and the Parthenax is the one who starts talking, but if you eliminate him, then the other, like, the one guy who takes you to that place starts talking.
Yeah. And this game had not one, not two, but three DLC, which are all pretty good. So there was
Hearthfire. Two of them are pretty good.
I like Hearthfire. Hearthfire.
You know, it's not like that.
It's not as good as the other ones, but it's not bad.
Yeah, Hearthfire is, I'll simplify it. You just get to build houses.
The first expansion was Dawnguard, which is a really cool one because you hear people talking about it, but there's vampires in Skyrim. And then there's these group of people called the Dawnguard and they're vampire killers. They're at war.
The DLC.
Yeah, and they're at war with the vampires and it's actually really fun.
And you meet
DLC.
And then you can side with either the vampires or the vampire hunters.
Oh yeah, and
if you complete the quest, if you complete the quest on the Vampire King's side, then you get like a really cool, like even more overpowered vampire, you get an even cooler vampire transformation that lets you like transform into a bunch of bats and fly around and stuff.
What, you mean Vampire Lord?
Yeah.
Although I think siding with the Dawn Guard is cooler because you get like the Dawn Guard rune axe and stuff, and it gets more powerful the more kills you
and
get.
And you can't be a, there's also werewolves in this game, and you can't be a vampire or werewolf at the same time. I generally prefer werewolves, but vampires are really OP. The main problem with vampires is that they lose health, magicka, and magicka is your magic ability in this game. They lose health, magicka, and stamina in daylight, and then they can't gain it back when it's daytime. So you have to always go inside and wait until nighttime.
I think vampire just... I know Vampire Lord is overpowered, but I just think it's kind of just a thing that holds you back later on in the game.
Because it's not, like, it's really good early on in the game, but then later on, like, you get to the point where, like, your basic weapon attacks do way more damage than you ever do as a vampire.
Yeah.
But then the second add-on was called Hearthfire, which is, doesn't have a lot of action in it, and I like it, but a lot of people consider this to be a bad DLC. But you get to build houses, and you can build houses, and you can adopt children, which are super annoying. Anyways, the best house is in Valkreath. Take my word for it. But it takes a long time to build houses, especially since the loading screens in this game are super long.
Wait,
they're not.
Hold on. I need. It's in Valkreath.
What?
It what? Oh, Valkreath.
Yeah, you didn't come through when you said it. I just wanted to know.
No, you didn't come through when you said it.
Oh, well, you didn't come through on my end.
Alright, then we come to the third and final add-on for Skyrim. Dragonborn DLC. The coolest, best, most awesome DLC.
Okay, so it starts with you going to Solitude, and you're like, hey... No, it starts when you do the Greybeards quest, and then you find these cultists come up to you, and they're like, hey, are you the Dragonborn?
It doesn't even have to trigger there. Like, it's a random encounter, is that these cultists will come up to you and they have a note on them.
I know, but you don't actually have to become the Dragonborn. You can just go to Solitude before you're Dragonborn. You just don't have to, you can't do Mirak and stuff. But, anyway...
I think they're a random Solitude. Encounter because
no, Solitude is a place. Solitude is a place in the mainland. You mean the island?
No. You have to go to Solitude to take the boat to Solstheim. Remember?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought you were talking about Solstheim itself.
Anyway, can I say you find cultists and they're like, hey, are you the Dragonborn? And if you say yes, they're like, well, then you must die because Murak is the only Dragonborn or something like that. And then you can easily kill them because you're the Dragonborn. Anyway, then you're like, what the heck is this? Who's this Murak guy? So then you take a boat. Well, the guy's like, hey, I'm not taking boats over there anymore. It's creepy. And then you're like, hey, I'll just give you like 100 gold or something. And he's like, all right, I'll go. And then you go over to Solstheim and you find like these cultist people. And you're like, how am I gonna get them out of this?
That mission is super fun, in my opinion.
What, the one where you have to destroy the stones?
We have to fight the cultists. The stone one's tedious. It takes way too long.
Oh yeah, there's like 5 stones around the map, and you have to use Bend Will, which is like a shout that like makes people.
But you only have to actually fight the first one to actually continue on the main quest. You don't have to defeat all of them.
Yeah,
you have
to free. And then, oh yeah, this is the place that introduces Hermaeus Mora, or, Murak?
No. Hermaeus Mora?
Yeah, who's like the Daedric god of knowledge. He's like big brain, but times infinity.
Nice.
He knows everything. He knows when the person is sus.
Oh my gosh. I didn't like that fight, specifically for the fact that I was running around a lot and cowering.
Anyway, no, and then when you read the first black book, because there's like Mirak's temple, and you open.
Yeah, isn't there like five? Isn't there like three or like five black books? How many black books is there?
I don't know. I think there's seven.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but I've got to
Oh, I love how Mirak says different things depending on what you've done.
Yeah.
If you
he didn't like, say too much to me.
If you kill Alduin, I like how he's like, "Oh, so you slain Alduin? I could have killed him myself." Yeah, totally. Like you could have killed him yourself.
Uh huh.
Even though I literally one-shot you.
Mirak is so such a good villain, in my opinion. Like a really good video game villain.
Yeah, and
but then like you go and you kill dragons and he steals the dragon soldier. And also he's super powerful.
Also, I love how when I first came into the one place, the realm, I think my brother said what was he was like, "Welcome to something land." I think he said like welcome to he said welcome to Cthulhu land.
Because
there's like
Basically Cthulhu. Like you fight a bunch of like miniature Cthulhus.
You fight like squid monsters.
And let me tell you, if you're not strong enough to defeat, if you're like, if you're anywhere below like level, I don't know. But those guys are really tough.
Yeah, they are. But
and then there's the tentacles that just come out of the water and like insta kill you.
Well, they just whip you.
Yeah, but they can kill you.
I didn't know.
I was low enough level when I first fought these guys that like they literally one-shotted me. The tentacles did.
No, but the final boss against Mirak is awesome. Cause you get the final bend will, which allows you to ride dragons. And then you can't control the dragons though, cause they can't make it fun. Anyway, you then like
go. You probably wrap this up pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. You go up to him, and he's like, "So the first dragonborn fights the last dragon." Oh yeah, he's the first dragonborn.
Oh yeah.
I think we forgot to mention that he's the reason he wants to kill you so badly is because he's the first dragonborn. And he almost died, but then Hermaeus Mora like took him into his realm or something.
And he's a boring old timer, and old timers always lose.
Yeah, that's totally.
And then you just go beat the crap out of Alduin, or not Alduin, out of
Mirak. Yeah. And you actually absorb his soul. And then he just becomes like a skeleton.
You beat the crap out of old.
Well, no, Hermaeus Mora like stabs him.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then he's like, "Hey, I found a new champion." And then he kills Mirak. And then you're like, "Cool, now I get his sick armor." His armor looks sick.
Yeah. Well, and also two parts. If you take two parts of the armor, if you have the right armor, like if you're wearing all the right pieces of armor, you can actually get 100% spell resistance. And you need two pieces of armor from this set to get it.
Oh yeah.
But then you can just become invulnerable to any spell attack.
I remember that. That's how like overpowered that armor is.
Hmm. I probably should have sought out his armor better then. Because I was just tired of fighting him at that point.
Oh yeah, no, it allows you to just shoot infinite magic. Because spell resistance allows you to absorb magic.
The viewers, the few people that watch this are probably visibly cringing at how bad I am at this game.
No, but, anyway, the last things I want to talk about are the Daedric artifacts, and there's like 15 in the base game, and not including Creation Club. The Creation Club was like DLC that you buy,
Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Anyway.
It's DLC that you buy.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The Daedric Artifacts. You should get Azura's Black Star. Because it's a black soul gem instead of a white soul gem. And white soul gems aren't that good compared to black soul gems. I mean, like, why would you do that? I guess if you were lore-wise.
There's a side quest that you can get from listening to bartenders, if you ask them some quests.
Oh, yeah.
One of the quests they can send you on gets you a refillable soul gem.
They're all refillable. Oh, wait, no, I think I know what you mean. Never mind.
What quest?
I don't know what it's called, but you have to talk to bartenders to get it. But then you just get one that you can just recharge, and then you can enchant everything with it. And it's a black soul gem, so it's like the easiest one to refill, and it's super strong.
I think you're talking about Azura's Star.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, Azura's Black Star. Black Star or Azura's Star. Although, in the lore, you would probably should have gotten Azura's Star, because Azura is a very powerful Daedric. Like, yes. No, like, do you know the Black Elves, or whatever they're called? Black because of her. They were like, be like white elves or something. I don't know.
But anyway, then the Daedric came along and changed the color of their skin with her endless power.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, no, my favorite Daedric weapon in this game is the Wabba Jack.
The Wabba Jack that just has a random effect every time you use it on somebody.
Yep, there's a chance they turn into cheese.
And then you can eat them.
Nice.
Anyway, I think we should wrap it up now.
So yeah,
this is a really long episode.
Yeah, it makes up for how short the last episode was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, if you guys haven't played Skyrim, you should play it. I mean, you could have played.
It's definitely worth it. Like, even if you don't want all the DLC, it's like $3 for PS3 and Xbox 360, and it's $15 if you have. If you want the special edition.
Why haven't you played Skyrim? Answer me now.
Ben, you're the one.
I've got to say that the original version, the special edition, isn't worth it for how much more expensive it is. Yeah. Because the mod support's not that good, and they didn't really change that much.
Well, I mean, says you. I like flying around with the grapple gun.
Anyway.
Better yet, get it on PC, and then you can get every mod ever.
Oh, yeah. The modding community on the game is insane.
Not it's as insane big. As Fallout 4, though.
No, I think it's
I would say it's more insane than Fallout 4.
Because it came out before Fallout 4.
Yes, and they still make mods here.
Yeah, no, they're still making mods for Fallout 4. Like, America Rising? That's new.
Anyway.
And, have you heard of the Storyteller mod?
And we're not talking about Fallout mods right now.
We are now.
Well, I think we should wrap up the episode.
There's literally a whole website that's just dedicated to Skyrim mods, and it's a super big website.
Jeez. Anyway, guys, this has been the
One Up Gaming Podcast.
One Up Discussion Podcast.
One Up Discussion Skyrim Podcast.
If you want, don't. We're not forcing you.
No, we are. Don't listen to him.
No, we need to force the people. Ben, we need to force people to subscribe. We don't force them to play games.
Right.
Yeah. Gaming can get in the way of subscribing to us.
Yeah, we need to wrap it up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways,
it's been a long episode, but Skyrim is really fun. I know we weren't explaining it that well, but it's pretty fun.
And if you don't think so, you're wrong.
We explained it way too much for what this podcast is.
Yeah, true. All right.
We over-explained it.
All right, I'll see you.
This has been the One Up Video Game Discussion Podcast.
And if you think this game is wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh, we need to say something.
And until next time.
No, we need to say something like how we said Al Victorian for the Fallout episode. We need to say something.
Yeah, I'm contemplating that right now.
Long live the Empire.
Ben, how dare you? No.
No, we need to say, like, long live the Dragonborn or something? I don't know.
Ben, Caden, that is the most cringeworthy thing I've ever heard.
Hold on. I don't know.
Dang it.
Just look up Skyrim slogans.
Hunter, please tell me.
Yeah, I'm looking through that right now.
Okay,
To our viewers out there. Hail Sithis.
Yeah.
Hail Sithis.
Whatever you guys said. Yeah. All right. Bye.
You picked a bad time to get lost, friend.
All music used in this episode is a copyright of Bethesda Softworks. No infringement is intended.